other. And every faith, a heart, a fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now. Hey, happy December, everybody. It's December now here, and it's a wonderful time, isn't it? It's the most wonderful time of the year, I hear. Some people have sung something like that, and it's beginning to look a lot like Advent, isn't it? It is Advent. We are into the season of Advent. My name is Patrick Conley. I'm here with you at the Rediscover Hour and happy to share this early Advent season with you. You know, Advent is as long as it can be this year. Can't get any longer. 4 full weeks of Advent. And my question to you this morning is, how do you celebrate Advent? How do you observe Advent? You know, I love to say to my friends, my family, my coworkers, and everything that Advent is so very fundamentally important because it sets us up well for the celebration of the season of Christmas, certainly, for remembering and looking forward to the second coming of Christ, for Him coming at the end of all things to establish His kingdom once and for all, and also to welcome Him once again into our lives and into our hearts. And it is a time that's Advent is a time when it's most appropriately observed in silence and stillness and to really see the darkness that awaits for the dawn. And I'm thinking of that especially as I was driving in this morning. It's cloudy again for about the, 1400th straight day or something like that. It's cloudy again. But how much will we appreciate the sun when it breaks through the clouds? And much the same as we look forward to the coming of Christmas, the celebration of the incarnation, and also the coming of Jesus at the end of all things. And we pray, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. Today on the Rediscover Hour, we're going to be talking about Advent, and specifically we're looking ahead to tomorrow morning, where the Archdiocesan Council of Catholic Women is sponsoring an Advent morning of reflection for women. I know that there are a number of other parishes and things around the Archdiocese that are going on to help people embrace and engage in this season of Advent, but specifically as we focus on this one for women tomorrow morning, sponsored by the Archdiocesan Council of Catholic Women. We have 3 guests that will be with us today. Joining me in studio will be Lucy Johnson, who is the past president of the ACCW, still sitting on the board as such. We'll also have joining us on the phone Father Michael Becker, who will be one of the speakers at this morning reflection, and then another of the speakers, Dr. Anne-Marie Klein. And as we get ready to welcome them onto the Rediscover Hour, I look forward to seeing what they have to say and how they can encourage us to really develop an Advent mentality, an Advent spirit about us, one that looks forward in eager anticipation to the coming of the King. And as we begin our time together and as we look forward to the hour that is to come, as well as to the season that's laid out in front of us, let's, as always, pause, give thanks to God, and dedicate this show to the intercession of our Blessed Mother, as we pray in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And you know, as we pray that prayer, that is one of the unique ways, I think, that we as Catholics have of looking at the season of Advent, and looking through the eyes of Mary. And in fact, that is part of the theme of this upcoming Advent morning of reflection that is going to be offered tomorrow morning, Saturday morning, for women, as sponsored by the Archdiocesan Council of Catholic Women. It's a Marian look at Advent. And specifically, they're tying in a number of just really rich things here. Also, looking at the year of mercy, where do we go from here? So thinking about how mercy and in the life of Mary actually plays into our understanding and devotion to the season of Advent. So we've got a great show coming up. I'm excited to share it with you. We'll be back in just a few moments with Lucy Johnson. Rediscover.
As a longtime sponsor and supporter of Relevant Radio, the Glasgow Automotive family encourages that today we all pray a memorare for the state of the country, keeping in mind our first responders, police officers, and those who serve to keep us safe.
The Rediscover Hour, where we're talking about Advent this morning as we're into the first day of December. No, it's the second day of December now. Goodness gracious, I'm falling behind already. Hopefully this Advent season is not just filled with bustling about, looking for all the right gifts for all the right people, making Christmas cookies and everything like that for you, but you actually have some time to sit and be still in the presence of the Lord, inviting Him once again into your own life, as well as contemplating the mystery of Christmas and the mystery of Christ coming again at the end of all things. And joining me today to talk about a Women's Morning of Reflection that's coming up tomorrow morning, Saturday, December 3rd, sponsored by the Archdiocesan Council of Catholic Women, is the past president of the ACCW, Lucy Johnson. Lucy, it's good to have you on the show this morning. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. So, Lucy, actually, before we launch into talking about Advent and the Morning of Reflection that's coming up and even the ACCW, tell us a little bit about yourself. Are you a native Minnesotan?
Oh, I claim it as home, but actually I grew up in Wisconsin.
And so did I. Excellent.
Did you? Yeah. I was north of Green Bay in Marinette.
Wow.
Where were you?
Yeah, I was down in Wisconsin Dells, actually. Yeah. Very good. Well, but something brought you to Minnesota.
Actually, I came to school at in Winona, the College of St. Teresa's. I think my mother went there and my sisters went there, and so it was a legacy school, and then I ended up transferring to the U and graduating in pharmacy in 1981.
Wow, congratulations. So you have a pharmacy degree.
Right.
How about that?
I work at Children's Hospital in
St.
Paul.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so you've been here in the Twin Cities for a good amount of time now.
Anyway. I did.
All right.
I met my husband in pharmacy school, so it was a good reason to stay.
Nice, very nice. So tell us a little bit about the history of the Archdiocesan Council of Catholic Women and what it is, what the history is and what the vision and purpose of the ACCW is.
Okay. We like to say that we go from the woman in the pew to the Pope, because the Council of Catholic Women actually has a legacy of rich history of going. We have levels. We have definitely the parish level is the most important, but we also have the city level, the deanery level, the state level, the archdiocese level, national and world. And the Council of Catholic Women, a National Council of Catholic Women, was founded in 1920. It was the same year the women got the vote.
Nice.
By the USCCB, the Council of Catholic Bishops. And it was, at the time, there were 200 women's groups, but the bishops wanted to have more of an umbrella group. So they started the National Council of Catholic Women. And in the Archdiocese, we were founded, in May of 1933. Archbishop Murray founded the Archdiocesan Council of Catholic Women. So we have a long history here in the Archdiocese, and we kind of say we have roots and branches where we are grounded in our history, but we also are in every parish in the Archdiocese, in every area, like all the seven deaneries in the Archdiocese have councils.
Right. And so what about the vision and the mission of the ACCW?
Well, our statement, and this really went back to the bishops, is that our mission is to support, empower, and educate all Catholic women in spirituality, leadership, and service, and to do that within the gospel values in the world today. Mm-hmm. And so we do follow the bishop's leads, and we try to take those areas. And so within our Archdiocesan Council, we have different commissions, and we use that word commission, mm-hmm. biblical, to go and go out into the world. But we have like family, so we're definitely pro-life and pro-marriage and family issues. We also have legislative, because we want to empower women in the legislative area, so that's a big area. We have community, where we focus on issues like mental illness or domestic violence or human trafficking. We have issues of the international, where we look at Madonna plans and the mother-child clinics in the world, and also Appalachia. This past year, every Christmas, we send a semi full of gifts to two parishes in Appalachia that are collected by the women in the archdiocese. We also do leadership. We train you on how to run a meeting and what's parliamentary procedure and the role of officers. So it's been a long area, but whatever area is needed.
Yeah, it sounds like the vision is pretty broad-based, pretty wide-stretching. And so just is there any way of estimating how many women come to be involved in ACCW events? I suppose it's kind of hard to estimate.
Right. And one of the things is that we don't have like individual membership. What we do is like if your parish belongs, all the women are members. There is some movement on the national level to try to do individual membership, but we look more as affiliates. So and what's interesting in the Archdiocese is that I think that the Council of Catholic Women is stronger in the rural areas, like Southwest Deanery or Southeast Deanery have pretty much very active groups that come together and we learn from them. Our board consists of about 40 women on our board.
Okay.
And so the board is big, but we meet four times a year as a board, and then we have an annual convention and we have different events. But we learn from them, and what some, like in Southwest, they really have a very strong program where they have a priest supper. Mm-hmm. So they get all the priests in that, and they have a dinner and really value and support that. And then we share those kinds of ideas across that. But even in our archdiocese, what works maybe for one area may not work for another. The, you know, St. Paul, Minneapolis is a little different than, you know, Montgomery and some of those other places.
Right, sure. You mentioned the national conferences and such. You were telling me before the show how you've had some pretty notable speakers come in. Do you want to tell us a little bit about
that?
Well,
actually, I was telling Patrick that when the council was formed, the National Council of Catholic Women was in 1920, but in 1943, they were also tapped by the USCCB because they started another group called the Catholic Relief Service. So we think of the Catholic Relief Service as our sibling because we were both formed by the bishops. But the women were asked to send blankets and food to the refugee camps in Europe in World War II. And I think today we think of the refugee camps in the Middle East. But, you know, back in the 40s, that's where they were. They were in Europe. And so it was the Catholic women across the United States who provided those things. But we also had a national president, and the National Council of Catholic Women president was on like President Kennedy's task force for women in the early 60s. But there was one who had gone to India, and this was probably in the 50s, and she had met this little nun who was doing some work. And so she invited her to come to the National Council of Catholic Women annual meeting in 1960. And it was Saint Mother Teresa.
Right.
And the meeting was held, actually, do you want to guess?
Nope, you tell me.
Okay. The meeting was held in Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah, right.
So Mother Teresa came to the United States for the first time in Las Vegas.
In Las Vegas. Oh,
And when I was at the National Council meeting this last September, they actually had a copy of her speech that they were passing out. So I have a copy of Mother Teresa's, the talk that she gave to the women. And from that, that's where we support, we call it a Madonna plan. We support the Mother Teresa clinics. They're for mother and child around the world. And we've done that since 1960 as a national and in our archdiocese. Our women raise money for through various means. And it used to be like you bring a dollar to your bridge club, and that dollar would go to the Madonna plan. But we've supported Mother Teresa's clinics since. So we feel we're responsible for bringing her to the United States.
Now, albeit to Las Vegas.
Okay, yes, yes.
Right.
And
right.
We haven't been back since.
yes, very good. So it sounds like there's a lot of active outreach that the National Council of Catholic Women and even locally here does, that there's a lot of things that you support, that you want to encourage, that you throw your support behind, which obviously fits right in with your mission statement. But I noticed you also said as part of your mission statement that spirituality is one of the things that you seek to develop. And now looking ahead to this event that's happening tomorrow morning that you're sponsoring here in the Archdiocese at St. Peter's in Mendota, right? So it's not in necessarily one of the most rural areas. It's right here in our backyard. But you're sponsoring this to give women the chance to reflect during this Advent season, obviously. So tell us a little bit about just the structure of the morning and what who's going to be there and what's going to happen.
Okay, and I want to, maybe this might be an opportunity. This kind of the seeds, this has been our fifth year that we've had this. And so the morning, let me go back to where the seeds of this came from, I think.
Yeah, please.
I think the seeds for this program were actually sown many years ago. And it was probably when I was a young mom. I have 7 wonderful children. But we had 6 and 10 years. And they were, when growing up, and it was probably when I think my oldest was about 3rd or 4th grade, I was really just overwhelmed and by the sense of frustration with all of the commercialism of Christmas. And there's so much busyness and how, you know, you had to get out the cards and make the cookies and go to the children's programs and wrap presents and all of that. And it really was, I just remember this desire to try to put Christ back in Christmas and how to do that. And so I think that, you know, there were ways that I finally figured it out, but I think a few years ago when we were, as the Council of Catholic Women, looking at this program, that was really one of our ideas, is how do we go back? There weren't a lot of Advent programs at the time. There were a lot of breakfasts with Santas,
right.
And there were a lot of crafts and bazaars at churches that, you know, people really, and we want those. They're very lucrative and help support our ministry.
Sure.
But really it was an idea of how to put Christ back in Christmas and how to just take some time. And so it's kind of two-part. It's a gift to the women to offer this program, and it's also a gift for women to take for themselves, to just take 2 or 3 hours out of this busy, busy season to just reflect on what Advent is in the upcoming season. And so some of the things that we do is we make sure the room where the program is going to be held, there's no red and green. We try to keep Advent colors.
I like it.
You know, so you and Mary colors. So we have blue and white, or we have the pink or purples, and really focus on that. And so our morning starts with a prayer service, and then there's a reflection, and there's a break, another reflection, and we end with Mass.
Mm-hmm.
So that it's you know, if you're pretty much done by 12:30. 12:45, you can still make the basketball games or Meander or whatever is going on, but yet you've taken some time. And yet we've also found that we do have vendors.
Okay.
And Suzanne helped me today with a new term, ethical shopping.
Ethical shopping, that's right. Yes.
Yeah, we learned ethical shopping or guilt-free shopping, but this is just another way to empower the women that are making crafts or selling them. So in the breaks, you can purchase items. We have fair trade items. My friend Joyce is going to have some items for the Katui Partnership, which benefits the Archdiocese. The Archdiocese has Katui, Kenya, Africa. And these were handmade crafts by the women who are part of the CWA, which is our partnership over in Africa.
Okay.
And Joyce brought them over in her suitcase and has brought them. And so it truly, I like that ethical.
Yeah.
But it's an opportunity to help support them. And yet, I know that with our speakers, they'll walk away spiritually enriched. They've just taken this gift of time to renew themselves, and hopefully they can face these next. Like you said, Advent is long. It's so long this year. But it's a wonderful season, and at least we can put our priorities straight. What's the most important part? It's not the Christmas cards. It's not the cookies. It's not all that busyness. It's really Christ.
Right, absolutely. So as I going back to what you said about the colors and everything, that's something that's we might think that that's minimal, but I really think that all of our senses need to be attuned to Advent at this point. And yet, when we go out shopping or even listening to radio stations, that sort of thing, we tend to get inundated. All of our senses tend to get inundated with red and green Christmas and that sort of thing. So let me just say that I, for one, appreciate that you're going to keep the red and green out at this time of year and focus on the colors of Advent in order to, in all these different ways, stimulate us into a true observation of the Advent season. Now, will there be, speaking of Advent and stillness and silence, are there going to be opportunities too for women at this reflection day of reflection to sit and have some stillness, some silence as well?
Absolutely. And I think that's the beauty of St. Peter's in Mendota. For people who've never been there, it's just a gorgeous setting. And the church is open, and you can look at the windows and probably see an eagle come by. And I think, you know, one of the things you had mentioned about Mendota Heights, it's maybe not the most rural, but it is Mendota.
Right.
And it is where the two rivers come together. And going back to our native roots, that's a very spiritual, significant spot. Mm-hmm. And so even being at the Mendota of Minnesota is another gift.
Right. Just the way that it...
And it's easily, you can reach it from the south, the north, the east, the west. So right. It's located.
Yes, that's right. Lucy Johnson is my guest. She's the past president of the ACCW, the Archdiocesan Council of Catholic Women, and we're talking about Advent, specifically Morning of Reflection that's coming up tomorrow morning at St. Peter's in Mendota, open to all women. And actually, that's a good question for you, Lucy. If women are just hearing about this for the very first time, can they still attend tomorrow?
Yes, absolutely. We'll take walk-ins. This program has grown every year, and we're probably close to 200 women with about 22 vendors. It is popular. And like you mentioned in the beginning, there are other events going on. So I think that this shows that there's a need for women in our archdiocese and to have some time alone. And I think it's great.
No question. So just tell us a little bit about how you came up with the theme for this Advent morning reflection, both on the Year of Mercy, where do we go from here, and this kind of this Marian view of Advent as well.
Well, and I think it goes back to our beginning. We always try to have it the first Saturday of Advent so that it can be Greet Advent. And we've started this as, in the beginning, it was Greet Advent as Women of Hope. Greet Advent as Women of Love was 1 year. Greet Advent as Women of Faith. And the last year was Greet Advent as Women of Action. Mm. And so I think we're not quite greeting Advent as Women of Mercy, but I think that was because it was the Year of Mercy. And sure, we knew that mercy was ending on November 20th. And so where do we go from here? But we really do, we identify with Mary. Mm-hmm. You know, the Lady of Good Counsel is our patroness. We pray to her. We are mothers. We are women. We are aunts, grandparents, you know, daughters. We're daughters. So we know where Mary, I mean, we turn to Mary. And and I think Advent is so wonderful through Mary's eyes. Mm-hmm. I mean, the fear. I just had a daughter who gave birth for the first time.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, a month ago today.
Wow.
And I had the opportunity of being in the delivery room with her. I didn't want to. I wasn't my thing. It was her sister was going to help her, and then the sister needed caribou. So, I brought down and stayed for 12 hours. But it is a marrying event of you know, and the fear and the of not knowing and putting yourself with Mary and having Mary help us through those times.
Right. And certainly the scriptures use pregnancy as the analogy of people waiting in great anticipation for the coming of God. So that works, I think, very well, a Marian view of Advent also. So how about just in closing here in our last minute together, what are some of the ways, or how would you encourage people to maybe something that they can set aside for the observation of Advent? Is there anything particularly that you do personally for Advent that you would encourage listeners maybe to take up as well?
Well, I think that we hold pretty traditional to the events that, like, of our kids, like the Advent wreath.
Okay.
The Advent, you know, the candles, the prayer services with that. My house isn't really decorated for Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, we try to put out some of those things and to focus. And, you know, we make a big deal out of Little Christmas, you know, the December 6th. And I was just thinking, I've got two children who are in Ohio, and I didn't send them presents for their shoes for St. Nick. So if you guys are listening, sorry about that. I was thinking maybe my husband could still run out today and get something. But I think that those little, but the focus is on St. Nicholas.
Right.
You know, St. Andrew was big. St. Lucy's coming up on the 13th.
Yeah.
So we look at the saints throughout Advent. But I think we just try to keep that Christmas and knowing that anticipation that's coming.
Yeah, wonderful. Our guest has been Lucy Johnson, who is the past president of the Archdiocesan Council of Catholic Women, who are sponsoring a Women's Morning of Reflection, an Advent Morning of Reflection, tomorrow morning, Saturday, December 3rd. It starts with registration and gathering and refreshments at 8:30 a.m. at St. Peter's in Mendota. You can find out more, ladies, on the Archdiocesan website, archspm.org, and click on the events tab there. Lucy, it's been a pleasure having you with us. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
And a happy Advent to you. We're going to come back with two of the keynote speakers from tomorrow morning's ACCW Advent Morning Reflection, Father Michael Becker and Dr. Anne-Marie Klein, right after this break.
At this festive, expectant time of year, the Dentist House of Edina would like to wish you a joyful Christmas time. I'm Dr. Janet Zingali, and with my husband, Dr. Mike, we are thankful for our patients and being able to provide personalized dental services. We pride ourselves in listening to you and emphasize healthful alternatives for you. If you do not have dental insurance, we offer a membership plan that offers discounts on most dental services. Our practice offers a comfortable approach in a warm, caring atmosphere. From our staff and family to yours, we wish you a prosperous, fruitful new year. To maximize your dental benefits before the end of the year, we have openings for appointments that work around your busy schedule. We have early morning, evening, and even weekend appointments. We understand your benefits and can help you optimize them. Call 952-929-9131. The Dentist House of Edina, a comfortable approach to dentistry.
Love wash over a multitude of things. Love wash over a multitude of things. Love wash over a multitude of things. Make us whole.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour, as we're speaking about Advent, and we are thinking about ways that we can make Advent, Advent, and not just Christmas and Christmas and Christmas at this time of year, but longing for the expectation of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh at Christmas, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ at the end of all things as well. We've been speaking with Lucy Johnson, the past president of the ACCW, about a Women's Morning of Reflection coming up on Saturday, December 3rd. So if you're listening in our rebroadcast on Saturday or Sunday, I'm sorry, the event has already taken place, but that doesn't mean that you can't have make time to make a good Advent for yourselves as well. And now we have one of the keynote speakers who's going to be at that event tomorrow morning, Father Michael Becker, who joins us on the phone. Good morning, Father.
Good morning, Patrick. Wonderful to be with you and the Relevant Radio listeners.
Yeah, great to have you on. Thank you for being here. So, Father, you are the rector of St. Vianney College Seminary here in town. And I'm just wondering if what's going on. Can you give us a brief update of what's going on at the seminary? Anything you're particularly excited about this year that's happening there?
We have 120 plus men who are here discerning priesthood. We had a Vianney visit last weekend, which was about 65 guys came to that, which was probably the highest percentage of attendees we've ever had. So it was very exciting. These are prospective seminarians for the future and juniors, seniors in high school. We've got a full house, have had for a number of years. I think a lot of people don't know that. They, you know, think the diocese has been through some struggles, but we're a real sign of hope over here at St. John Vianney. And a number of the guys are coming from, you know, the Midwest area, the five-state region, but we actually have a few from Anchorage, Alaska, and from Mobile, Alabama, and from Michigan and Indiana. So there's just a broad swath, and I guess I just share with listeners that there's a real sign of hope in the seminary right now. Both seminaries, St. John Vianney and St. Paul Seminary in town, are doing very well.
That's wonderful, and very adventitious, if you will, as well.
Clever,
you like that? Yeah, no, but it's really as a sign of hope, right? That is one of the great things. And I think oftentimes you mentioned that it's been a tough time for our archdiocese here recently, and but there are a lot of things that don't necessarily get coverage on the front page headlines that there's plenty of reason for hope. And with Christ, of course, there's always reason for hope, right?
Amen, brother. Amen. I mean, this is a season of hope. And yeah, so the Blessed Virgin Mary is a wonderful witness for us during the season of Advent. And I've been thinking about it in preparation just for our conversation and also, of course, for tomorrow's gig with the Council, Archdiocese and Council of Catholic Women.
Right.
You know, how is Mary a sign of hope, and what can we gain from her witness? Well, a few things I just add this morning. One is her active receptivity. You know, we can receive gifts at Christmas or St. Nicholas Day from folks, and when we receive gifts from folks, sometimes it's hard. It's hard to receive. We might feel like we're unworthy or we're putting this person out, you know. We'd rather give to them. I often feel that way myself. I was in class, just sitting in a class the other day, and I gave a little card with some money to a young student saying, here, go enjoy a coffee and a scone. And they gave back to me a little gift card to Barnes & Noble, and I thought, well, this is a student giving a little gift. And I thought, well, I shouldn't be receiving this from a student. Students should be receiving from me only, right? But
right.
When we receive a gift from another, we're also receiving them. And we're saying yes to their extension of love. And we're entering into a reciprocity. So Jesus did say it's more blessed to give than to receive. And yet at the same time, receiving is also blessed. It's also holy. And love is exchanged. The gift of grace enters into that charity, that moment. So Mary is a wonderful witness of active receptivity. The angel came to her and said to her, you know, Mary, you're going to bear the Son of God. You're going to be the mother of God. And she's like, well, how can this be? I do not know man. I'm a virgin, essentially. And this is all in Luke chapter 1, and then the angel says, you know, the most power of the Most High will overshadow you, and the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And so then she says, you know, let it be done to me according to your word. That's active receptivity. It's saying, I receive and I assent to this. I believe this. I choose this. She's actually rising up. She's receiving as a lowly person, but rising up in response in her heart and her mind. And so I think in our own posture in prayer and in service and to whomever we encounter, a kind of active receptivity is a posture of hope. It's saying, I believe and I'm going to rise up that you have good things for me, that your plan will unfold, that your promises will be true. And I'm not just going to wait for that without any anteing in, but without counting the cost, I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say yes and give my fiat. So when we hear the Lord in our silence of our hearts and we have this maybe little intuition that God is inviting me to do this or say that or simply to believe that one day he's going to fulfill this, I'm going to rise up and say yes in my heart. Now, and another thing that happens here, which we can glean in our posture, which Mary teaches us, is not to be afraid. We can have fear that, of course, so many things could fall apart, and our world today is more and more unsettled and insecure. And we can see it with the elections and the response after the elections, how many people have certain fear that we're going to have less security in the future, and others are very happy, of course. I'm hoping that we will have Supreme Court justices put in place that will be pro-life and we can overturn Roe versus Wade. But that having been said, I'm not going to put my hope in the person of the president. I'm going to put my hope in Jesus Christ and the kingdom. And that is where we're going to find security. But every time, often in the scriptures, when God gives a revelation to someone, the first thing he says often is, do not be afraid. There's a pattern. And it happened with the Blessed Virgin Mary. In Luke 1, the angel comes to her and says, do not be afraid. For first of all, greetings, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. But then just a couple of verses later, the angel says, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. And so the angel's telling her not to be afraid. And that's not the first time that happened. In fact, in Genesis with Abram, before he became Abraham, the Lord was coming to him in a vision and said, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward will be great.
Right.
And again with Joshua, and then again with in the Judges with Midian, saying, you know, do not be afraid. I am with you, O conqueror. Peace be with you. Do not fear. You shall not die. And then Gideon would go on to build an altar there to the Lord, and he would offer something beautiful. So many folks in the Old Testament, whether it's Abram, Joshua, or Gideon, or others, when they received a revelation, the Lord would often say to them, do not be afraid. And the Lord said it to Mary. And Mary becomes this witness of, I live with hope. I do not let fear consume me. I do not let fear hinder my response. And in our world today, all of us are invited to be witnesses like Mary to the people we meet in the workplace or family members, neighbors, people in school that we attend. Can we be a light? Can we be a beacon? Can we be hope? Can we encourage them that we would say to them and we would respond ourselves with, I'm not going to let fear, you know, rule the day. I'm going to let hope rule the day.
Right. And, you know, as I'm thinking about, as I'm hearing you say, both the active receptivity of Mary and the injunction by the Archangel Gabriel to fear not. And it's interesting as you pulled in the Old Testament there and also thinking that the message is often fear not, for I am with you. So they actually tie in together, don't they, that we need to receive God's gift of himself to us in order not to be afraid, to recognize that he is with us always.
Amen. The grace has to come, and the presence of God is abiding. He's closer to us than we are to ourselves. And so it's really about our perception, becoming able to see more and more how faithful God is, how good God is,
right,
how everything for us is the best that it could be because of him, and that he would protect us. He knows every hair on our head. The virtue of courage, this is a little bit of theology, Patrick,
sure,
but the virtue of courage is connected to the theological virtue of hope. And that's because when we hope for something, we don't possess it, right?
Right.
I mean, Scripture says hope is the anchor of the soul. It brings strength and brings peace. But when we hope for something, we don't have it in possession right now. If we had it in possession, of course, we wouldn't need hope. That's why we don't have to have hope in heaven, because we possess God and are possessed by God. But it's also, hope is about possessing often something that's difficult to attain. It's not necessarily, you know, as easy as I can pull out my wallet and, you know, open my wallet and pull out a $5 bill and pay for this, you know, coffee.
Right.
I don't have to hope that I'm going to find the $5 in my wallet. I don't have to hope that, you know, many different things. I'm going to have some food for me at breakfast here. But when I have something that's difficult to attain, For example, I'm a struggling student and I have dyslexia, and I'm hoping that God's going to help me get this degree so I can be a priest. I have guys like that in the building, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they've got this goal, long-term goal of God's calling me to be a priest, and yet they have some real academic struggle because of dyslexia or ADD or whatever.
Right.
And so it requires courage then for them to continue to hope. So when we're hoping for something that's difficult, we have to have courage to keep moving forward, overcoming obstacles, eliminating evils that might hinder it. Saint Teresa of Avila, she had 17 foundations in her life that she laid, which was new communities of Carmelites, okay? And whenever there was a difficulty, she took it as a good sign. She says, okay, Satan's trying to interrupt this.
Right.
So she would get a building donated for a new community of sisters in some part of Spain, and then when she would arrive, you know, one of the walls would be crumbling because of rain and decay over time, and she would look at it and she said, well, this is a good sign. It's a sign that there's Satan doesn't want this to happen, you know.
Right,
there's some obstacles to overcome. Or someone would say, I'm going to donate a house, and then they'd say, well, actually, I'm not going to after all, and then there'd have to be this dialogue and shenanigans going on, and then finally, of course, there would be a site that would be found. But in our own life, sometimes we feel like there are hindrances or obstacles, and yet we have in the back of our, in the deepest recess of the heart, we have this idea that, no, it's going to come to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
I believe God has promised it. I believe God is with me, and it's going to happen. And then so we have to have courage to face that obstacle. And so hope and courage are two virtues that relate to each other, play upon each other.
Yeah.
Courage helps us to get. So when the angel says to Mary, do not be afraid, he's saying to her, God has given you the grace for courage. You're going to overcome any obstacles you think there might be. For example, you've got this Joseph. You're not called to be married and to have relations with anybody. That's a pretty big obstacle, don't you think, Patrick?
It would be for me, yeah.
How am I going to beget a child when I'm consecrated to God as someone who will remain a perpetual virgin?
Right.
If you're talking about an obstacle overcome, I don't think there's one that is as great as that.
Exactly.
And so she has to have courage to say, okay, I'm going to walk forward in this, trusting, and continuing to hope. Now I'm hoping for a fruition of something that is humanly impossible.
Yes. Father Michael Becker talking to us about Advent and the virtues, the theological virtue of hope and the cardinal virtue of courage and how that they're related to one another. Father, we're just about out of time, but I just wanted to ask you one further question. I know that in addition to Advent being a busy time, or can be an overwhelmingly busy time for shoppers and getting ready for Christmas and all that, I know it also is a busy time for those who work in the academic world, like you do, and for priests, which you are. So I'm wondering if there's any particular practice that you have engaged in this, or perhaps every Advent, that helps you keep Advent, Advent.
Well, indeed, we do a little bit of less technology here at the seminary, and especially on Fridays, so today, it's what we do is we say we're not going to do technology unless we absolutely have to for a paper up until 3 o'clock. So that special hour, of course, that Christ died. But that makes Advent a little bit more quiet, a little bit more prayerful with meditation. So Fridays especially is the kind of day where we say, technology, we're going to kind of leave it off for up until 3 o'clock. And yeah, so I do that, and I a bit more practice of prayer and a little bit more fasting. Advent is kind of a little Lent. You know, Lent is a big Lent, and Advent's a little Lent.
Right,
So we do a little bit of fasting. We do a little bit of self-denial and here with technology so that there can be a little more silence and then a little bit more listening.
Wonderful. Father Michael Becker, rector of St. John Vianney Seminary, it's great to have you on the program. Thank you so much, Father.
Yeah, Patrick, good to be with you. God bless you and all the listeners.
Thank you. So we are going from one keynote speaker to another here as we turn the page on our guests. We had Father Michael Becker, who's going to be speaking tomorrow at the ACCW Advent Morning of Reflection for Women. And also speaking at that event is Dr. Anne Marie Klein, who's a visiting literature professor in the Catholic Studies Department at the University of St. Thomas in St. Paul. Dr. Klein, it's good to have you with us.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yes, good morning to you. And, you are speaking tomorrow at this event, this Recollection for Women of the Archdiocese, and we've talked with Lucy Johnson about that specific event, and we know that it we're looking to Mother Mary as our model as we mercifully prepare for the arrival of her son. So I guess my question for you is, how is the maternity of Mary specifically unique?
Well, as the Mother of God, that gift is really the source of all of her perfections and all of her privileges. And so because of her divine maternity, she was conceived immaculately, as we'll celebrate next Thursday.
Right.
She had no stain of original sin. And through that, then she participates in the communion of the love of the Trinity in a unique and a supreme way. And as a result, she loves each one of us unconditionally. St. Jose Maria said in the furrow, she is daughter of God the Mother, daughter of God the Father, mother of God the Son, spouse of God the Holy Spirit. Her heart has room for all humanity, and she makes no distinctions or discrimination. Every person is her son or her daughter. So so we can, I think, go to her very easily as somebody who is so caught up in the love of the Trinity.
Now she is our model, and with all the things that you just mentioned, though, I mean, it's quite a model, a high level to live up to. And so I guess my follow-up question is that even possible? I mean, is she some sort of superhero that we'll never be able to actually live up to, and so we shouldn't even try?
That's a good question. I mean, when we think of superheroes, we think of kind of their magical powers that we'll never have, like they can fly or they can disappear. But she's not, for us, someone whom we can just admire from afar for her heroic feats and somebody that we can't imitate. Yeah, she has no original sin. She's full of grace, as St. Gabriel the Archangel told her. But we, too, have access to grace. Through baptism, confession, Holy Communion, our hearts, too, can be transformed and expanded beyond any hindrances so that, like her, we don't hesitate before sacrifice to embrace wholeheartedly the others at our side and the will of God for us each day. I think, you know, by opening up our hearts wide to God's love, and I think during Advent, to opening our heart to a good confession, we can continue to do what Pope Francis asks of us in his recent apostolic letter when he was closing the door in the Jubilee year.
Mm-hmm.
He asked us to transform our culture of indifference in order to build an entire culture of mercy.
Yeah, could you say a little bit more about that specifically? It's interesting to kind of juxtapose that indifference with mercy, that if as we get rid of indifference, it actually gives way to mercy. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. I think that's during, you know, through our relations every day with people. One of the ways in which, in a very simple way, that we perhaps cut out our opportunities is through our lack of eye contact. We're constantly on the screens and texting and even doing that in the presence of other people. But I think making an effort to have eye contact with others, to be able to see the Christ in the others in each day, and just throughout the day in the very ordinary circumstances, we're transmitting God's love, and we're, in that way, we're helping to build that culture of mercy.
Right, so it can be something just as simple as looking up from the screen, right, and
yes,
engaging with others. And Father Becker was actually just talking to us about one of the things they do during Advent over at St. John Vianney College Seminary, which is to reduce the amount of technology that they use specifically on Fridays in an effort to, I think, actually facilitate that, to see people, to engage people, to look them in the eye, and to build, again, this spirit of recognition and to tear down this indifference that so frequently comes. And so I'm wondering, actually, are there any specific Advent practices that you have incorporated into your observance of Advent, either this year or in years past, that could be good an inspiration to the rest of us?
Well, I think one of the things is that right now we're in the Novena to the Immaculate Conception.
Right.
It began on Wednesday, November 30th, and it extends through next Thursday, her feast day and the Holy Day of Obligation. And during these nine days, many people pray to her for special intentions. Oftentimes, they're intentions that are related to their vocational call, whether it be it to marriage or to some sort of celibacy.
Sure.
And so union with her sinless heart can really soften our hearts, can strip away our pride, our envy, our vanity, our sensuality, our greed, in order to hear the whisper of her Son deep down, the whisper of the Holy Spirit in our souls. So it's a special time to take advantage of many graces that God wants to send us through her hands. We can use these 9 days to live some small resolution, to grow in devotion to her. Maybe it's like saying the rosary or part of it with more love, or glancing at her pictures with even more gratitude for her motherly care. Or it could be, you know, placing flowers or a candle before her image, or putting little sacrifices into her hands to purify and offer them to God the Father. These could be little sacrifices of, for instance, living punctuality, which is a sign of respect and charity with others, or intensity in our work, which can be really a form of prayer, or it could be a more joyful and focused presence with others or with God in prayer. And if anybody's seeking reflection, brief reflections or a prayer for each day of the novena, yeah. They can find it at online at opusdei.org, O-P-U-S-D-E-I. And at that place, they can also find a link to the Pope's apostolic letter for the Jubilee Year of Mercy, for closing the Jubilee Year of Mercy that he just put out last month.
Right. And that's a great... can you tell us that website one more time?
opusdei.org, O-P-U-S dot D-E-I. Or great. Sorry, opusdei.org.
Got it.
And on there, there's a Murillo painting of the Immaculate Conception that you can click on for the novena. And then very close to that is the mention of the apostolic letter.
Wonderful. Dr. Klein, one final question for you, a brief one. As you're a literature professor, is there anything that you would recommend literature-wise that would be especially appropriate for reading during Advent?
Oh, there are many, many books. I think literature-wise, I think there's a book called Death Comes for the Archbishop by Willa Cather,
okay.
Which I think is very valuable. It does not explicitly have to do with Advent at all, but it has to do with Christianizing
right.
The Western culture in the United States. And I think there, I mean, they do mention Our Lady a little bit, but I think their patience in doing so and their prudence and their love of God, their contemplation in doing that, I think imitates that patience and contemplation that Our Lady had during these 9 months of waiting for the birth of our Lord. And I think this ability to see God's presence radiate in and through the things around us, and to imagine, you know, how she must have contemplated Christ's eyes, Christ's physical presence.
Yeah.
And I think in that book, we can learn from the priest in that book how to do that, especially in the midst of very trying circumstances.
That's a great recommendation. Dr. Anne-Marie Klein has been our guest, a visiting literature professor in the Catholic Studies Department at the University of St. Thomas. Dr. Klein, thank you so much for joining us
You're
this
welcome.
Morning.
Thank you for the opportunity to be there.
Yes, absolutely. So we will be back shortly here, and we'll run through a list of calendar items that are coming up here in the area.
Rediscover.
Really engaging the youth of today. Mark Hart, the Executive Vice President for Life Teen International.
We're talking about just trying to get the attention of a young person, actually get them to look up from their screens so you can address the whole other myriad of issues when it comes to sin and moral relativism. These are the challenges for modern parents, trying to break through all that noise. Is there any wonder then why so many young people hate going to Mass or why they don't make time to pray? Because they're always looking for the next stimulation. And then we're asking them to go and sit where it's quiet, where right. It's not going to be overstimulating. Is there any wonder why it's increasingly difficult to break through that culture? And this is why the church and families need to be working together to do it. You know, for every one negative story, I can tell you 20 more miraculous moments. The young church is very much alive.
Face life's challenges with a team of experts on your side. On Call with Wendy Weiss, 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Paul Sadek joins me now in the studio. Paul, we got some things going on.
Well, if you want to be a part of the new evangelization in our archdiocese by proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, sign up to join in the mission by sending the text message PROCLAIMING to 84576 or go to rediscover-faith.org and sign up for evangelization updates.
The presentation of the Blessed Virgin Mary will be hosting the Vatican International Exhibit of the Eucharistic Miracles of the World. This photographic exhibit includes 126 historically documented Eucharistic miracles that have occurred in various countries since the Last Supper. All are welcome to experience this opportunity on Saturday, December 10th from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Sunday, December 11th from 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. The exhibit is free of charge and includes children's activities. For more information, visit presentationofmary.org.
Multi-platinum recording artist and pianist Stephen C. Anderson will bring the music of the holidays to life this December during a series of concerts around the region, culminating on a high note at the majestic Cathedral of St. Paul. It's called Christmas Together with Stephen C. and Friends. These concerts promise to be a soothing musical tonic for the frenzied pace of the holiday season. Concert dates and locations include Thursday, December 15th, 7:30 p.m. at the Cathedral of St. Paul, and Monday, December 19th, 7 p.m. at St. Joe's in West St. Paul. For more information, visit the events page on archspm.org.
Men who are seniors in high school up to the age of 50 are invited to the Archbishop's Discernment Retreat for men interested in the priesthood. This retreat takes place December 16th through 18th at Christ the King Retreat Center in Buffalo, Minnesota. Retreat masters include Archbishop Bernard Hebda and Bishop Andrew Cousins, and is sponsored by the Office of Vocations and Father David Bloom. This is a wonderful opportunity for men to gain clarity on their discernment process and to meet other men who desire to follow Christ and to know His will for their lives. For more information, visit 10,000vocations.org or call the Office of Vocations at 651-962-6890.
And Immaculate Conception Columbia Heights invites you and your family to experience peace and joy of spending time to recapture the true reason for the Christmas season at their retreat for families. It's Saturday, December 17th. Find out more, visit the events page at archspm.org. What's up next week?
And next week, yep, we'll be right back here with the Rediscover Hour. Join us then to hear from Father Von Trico, the pastor of St. Bede the Venerable and chaplain at Providence Academy. Father Trico is a former Anglican priest, and he's married, and will join us to talk about the Anglican Church and the Ordinary of St. Peter. So I hope you can join us then. Until then, friends, go to church and be the church. The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.